Now, why is the one who get one talent, he didn't go out to do business, even deposit in the bank, and just hit it in the ground and give it back to the master when he come back? Let's look at it. He said, well, you are a hard man. The servant said, tell the master, well, you are a hard man. Why he say that? You harvest where you have not sown, and gather where you have not scattered. What it means is that you didn't give out any money. You didn't give out any effort. You're expecting a return. Is it true? Based on the story, I'm asking you and I'm expecting an answer. Yeah, usually the pastor asks a question and then they will answer it. But nowadays we call it interactive preaching. Is it true? Is it hard man? Is it didn't give out anything and expect something in return? Yes? No? Yes? Did he give out anything? How much did he give out? No, not one talent. He gave out 8 talents, remember? He gave out 8 talents. He expects something in return. Like you do the investment, you do the 401k, you expect to have some return, you give out something. Then why he said, you are a hard man? This is what I call the problem of bitterness. Have you known anybody who always complain? No matter what you do, they are not satisfied. Or she is not satisfied. Keep whining and whining and whining. Do you know anybody like this? Some people say, oh, come to my house and I'll meet my parents. I'm sorry. See, some people, they just focus all their attention to what on the bad side, to what people have not done. Very unforgiving. Anytime you do something wrong, then they will remember that there's something. But when you do something good for him, he don't see it. See, this is called the problem of bitterness. Once you have the problem of bitterness, you cannot enjoy joy in your life. There's no joy in your life because you're so many grumble inside of you. That's why the Bible talks about forgiveness. I mean, let's face it, we are living in the real world. There will be some people who are very challenging. But then, how are we going to deal with it? Are we going to always remember what they have done to me? Or we forgive? Now, the pastor led us into Lord's Prayer. Do you do Lord's Prayer every week? All of you memorize Lord's Prayer. Most of you memorize Lord's Prayer, right? In the middle of Lord's Prayer, there's one line. I think a lot of people don't understand. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, which comes first? God's forgiveness first, or our forgiveness to the other first? Which comes first? God forgive us, then we forgive others. Now, I don't know about you. The way I learned grammar when I was young, that is not how it interprets, right? According to the Bible, no, there's no translation problem. The Chinese read the same thing. The Greek read the same thing. What come first? What come first? Hello? Forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Who come first? Which come first? No, okay. Which come first? We forgive others. Come first. Right? Yes? Hello? Yes? Oh my goodness, there's a problem. Ever since I come to church, the pastor keep telling us, God forgive us no matter what. Unconditional love. And then nowadays you come in and say, well, you know, we have to forgive others first before God forgive us. I did not tell you that. The Bible say that. Now, then that means God's love is not conditional. How are we going to understand that? This is not talk about which come first. It's talk about experience. Now, how many of you are parents? Okay. Now, when do you, your parents love you, right? When do you really know how to appreciate the love of your parents? When you become a parent. Oh, you experience that, of course. But you don't, it's a young guy answering me, okay? That's good, you experience your parents' love. But you cannot really understand, appreciate your parents' love, I guarantee you, until you become a dad. Then you will know what a parent is like, right? There's a Chinese saying. You will not appreciate the love of your fully appreciate the love of your parents until you become a parent, right? Which come first? Your parents love you or you love your children? Which come first? Of course, our parents come, love us come first. Before we even have any kids, before we even get married, my parents loves me. My parents love me come first, and then I love my children. But when does I fully appreciate the love of God? When I love my children, when I start having my children, start worry about them, then I, oh, this is how my parents loves me. You understand what I'm saying? Which comes first? Of course, God forgive us first. God loves us first. However, when will we fully appreciate God's forgiveness? It's when we start forgive others. If you don't forgive others, if you're holding grudges, yes, God forgive you. Jesus died for you on the cross. But you cannot really understand God's forgiveness. If you hold the bitterness in you, you can never serve the Lord. You can never enjoy the joy that God gives you. You cannot really appreciate the forgiveness God has done for you. So, whether you hold on to your bitterness, or you start to learn how to let go, to appreciate, to start forgiving others. The more we forgive others, the more we appreciate and understand the forgiveness of God. This is how we start serving. If you hold the bitterness, you can never have joy in your family. You can never have joy in your life. You can even not ever have joy in the church. A lot of people serve, yes, they are serving, but they serve with a lot of bitterness. They're serving and complaining, you know, like Martha, right? Okay, next. The reason why the servant with the one talent did not go start working is because of bitterness. And the second reason, he said, well, so I'm afraid. Well, that's why I went out and hit your talent in the ground. I was afraid. Afraid of what? Well, think about it. If I were him, you know, he get 5 talents, he get 2 talents, I only get 1 talent. Well, you know, maybe I'm not as good as the others. Maybe I'm so unworthy. So I better not do anything because I'm afraid of failure, right? Maybe I'm the black sheep in the house. So okay, forget it. I'm not going to risk my anything. You know, if I go take that talent to do business, maybe I lost that talent. So I might as well hit it on the ground. This is what happened. Oh, next. What is this problem? Self-pity. I am nothing. I'm not. You know. You know anybody in your church or in your family who always have this feeling? Or maybe we are the one who feel that I'm not as worthy as the others. I'm nobody. I cannot serve because I am nobody. I don't have good education. I don't have talent. I don't have a full family background. I don't know how to deal with people. You know, we have tons of reasons convincing us that we are nobody, self-pity. So what did the master do? Oh, poor thing, let me pamper you. You know, you are not nobody. You can go to counseling and then you keep telling yourself, I'm so good, I'm so good, I'm so good for 20 times and maybe you'll get better. No. The master said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Let's read the yellow part. For everyone who has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. What happened is that the master said, okay, take away his one talent. To who? To who? To the one who has 10 talents. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know whether you're Republican or Democrat. Do you think it's unfair? Do you think it's unfair? See, you should ask the one to 10 talent to create a trust fund or a welfare system so that the one talent can get more. You know, the more the balance of wealth. What happened here? Come on. You took away the one who only have one talent, took it away and give it to the richest guy. What kind of principle are you talking about? It seems like Jesus endorsing this theory or philosophy or principle. What happens here? Do you think it's unfair? Because it's the Bible, we are afraid to challenge it. But you know, think about it. Do you think it's unfair, honestly? Huh? Oh, okay. Oh, he's the master. He can do whatever he likes. I don't think I can take that. Oh, because he's the master, he's the tyranny, he can do whatever he likes? Now, honestly, just reading it, do you think it's unfair? Do you think it's unfair? A little. Yes, it's unfair. Now, this has nothing to do with fairness. This is what I call the principle of life. What is the principle of life? Now, what is your... right now you're wearing a suit, right? What is the sole of your suit made of? Leather or rubber. In the old day, a really good shoe, the sole of your shoe made of what? Made of what? Leather. Right? I mean, the young people have never wear a leather bottom shoe, right? You know, in men's shoe, if it is really good, it's made of leather, not rubber. Why leather? Last longer. Now, think about it. If you're wearing a shoe, you keep walking. Well, in Arizona, you don't walk. Just think about it. Keep walking. What happened to the bottom of the shoe? Huh? Worn out. And keep walking. There may be a hole inside, hold on it, right? It get run out. Okay. What is your feet sole made of? The bottom of your feet, what is it made of? Flesh. Yeah, human flesh, right? A skin. Human skin, leather, which one is tougher? Leather, right? Unless you are some kind of crazy people. You know, there's someone whose hand is as rough as a leather. If you don't wear a shoe, you walk with barefoot. What happened? It worn out? It bleed? Keep walking? What happened? Your feet just burning. Yes. But think about those in Africa. They never wore a shoe. Their feet keep burning. What happened to their feet? Get tougher and tougher and tougher. Now you explain to me. The human skin is softer, leather is tougher. But when you wear your leather shoe, it gets worn out. But the human feet, it gets tougher and tougher. Tell me, what happens here? Why? The principle of life. Whatever there's life inside, there's a principle. The principle is, the more you use, the more you have. The less you use, the less you have. Think about, guys, think about your muscle. The more you have, the more you use, the more you have. The less you use, the less you have. Right? All the pastor, I don't know about you, you know, all pastor, they may not sing well. Maybe you sing well. Yeah. Not necessarily all the pastors sing well, but all the pastors sing loud. Am I right? He's clapping. He's the drummer singing. He's louder than your drummer. Why? Why all the pastors sing loud? Excuse me? I didn't get it. They want to worship God. Wow, so spiritual. You don't have to sing loud to worship God. God is not deaf. Exactly, because the pastors use their voice all the time. And because the more you use it, the principle of life, the more you have it, right? If you say, okay, next month, I'm going to do an opera recital. So in this month, I'm going to save my voice. So whenever I have to say something, I'm going to say so softly because I don't want to hurt my voice. And I want to preserve my voice. In 1 month's time, your voice will be gone. Right? This is called the principle of life. If you think you are nothing, if you think I don't have anything, then God may be saying, no, I really don't need you. Because whatever we have, God is not comparing us with the others. Next. The Bible said, the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, now it is required that those who have been given the trust must prove faithful. God is not asking you, God is not comparing you with others. God is comparing you with yourself. God is comparing you with your yesterday, whether you are better than yesterday. See, what God requires is faithful. And once we start falling into the trap of self-pity, we just think, oh, I'm nothing. What happened? You really become nothing. And if you give out whatever you have, yes, it's very little, but I give out whatever I have, God will multiply it. Remember the five loaves and two fishes? That is what we call faithfulness. That is what we call the principle of life. It's not about fairness. It's about how faithful we are. Now, I'm not preaching it just because it's... of course, it's from the Bible, but I'm not preaching it just because it's a theory. But I myself experience it. This is when I was young, 5 years old. When I was your kid's age. Now, I have my parents. I have two sisters. And then when I was 8 years old, my mother passed away of cancer. And within 1 year, my father passed away with heart disease. And my younger sister, I mean, my second older sister was in China, and I was in Hong Kong. And my sister was taken care by the grandparents in China. And then I have my older sister. She's too young to take care of me. She get married really soon, and maybe too soon, she get divorced already. I was put in a children's home for a few years. I was grow up in a children's home. It's not a good experience. I have a lot of bitterness inside of me. I why this happened to me? Why my parents passed away while I'm such a young age? When people make fun of me, I have nowhere to go. I feel that I have a lot of bitterness. I have not a hatred inside of me. When I grow older, I will become a teenager. You know, this is something very shameful to talk about. You know, I would go to a park, and when I see the little kids playing so happy, I would tell them, you know, let me bring you to something fun. Then I would take him aside or take her aside. I'll beat him up until he cried. Why? I know it's not as... I mean, this is very shameful. This is before I know the Lord. Because in my mind, I keep thinking, I am so unhappy. Why? How come you are so happy? I am so unlucky. How come you are so lucky? I don't have the love of my parents. How come you can enjoy the love of your parents? I want you to suffer the way I suffer. I want you to cry. I want to see tears coming from your eyes. This is how I was. Full of bitterness. Everyone is against me. The whole world is against me. This kind of mentality. Thank you, Lord, that I become a Christian when I was, when I was 17 years old. Actually, no one dared to bring me to church. I even asked someone to bring me to church. They refused to bring me to church because they're scared of me. They think I'm not suitable. I may not suitable for their church because church people are so nice. I'm not that nice. So God used someone who don't know me at all, just pass out a gospel tract to me on the street. This is how I become a Christian. I started to understand what forgiveness is all about. I started to understand I should not focus myself on what people do to me, on what the world do to me, but on what God do to me. I started to enjoy my life. I become a happy, and I cannot say a happy child, but I my life is happy. I enjoy my life a lot. And then God called me into a seminary when I was 19 years old. And then I come to the United States. I graduate from the seminary from Hong Kong, and then I go to Stanford Seminary and then Fuller Seminary. And I was preparing myself to become a seminary professor. I'm doing my PhD there. And in 1994, 22 years ago, I was diagnosed with liver cancer. I have half of my liver removed. I was very sick and I was very ill. At that time, luckily I can recover from my cancer, but I was very weak. At that time, all my friends keep saying, maybe you should not work as hard because as a cancer survivor, you can take an easy job and everything. And then I decided at that point to join the organization that I'm working at as a pioneer. A lot of challenge, a lot of work, and not much money. Sometimes I cannot even get my paycheck. But I say to the Lord, I don't know how long I can live. I was thinking, you know, liver cancer, there's a good chance of recurrence. I'm thinking maybe I have 2 to 3 years life. Yeah, very short span of life. But I'm going to devote whatever time I have to the Lord. And then I start working in my organization. I start with 2 people. And then right now, we have 4 community center, a Christian community center. We have 3 medical clinics with dental and doctors. We have over 100 staffs. I'm not trying to say, oh, look at how powerful I am. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying, whatever you have, doesn't matter. God, what God asks for us is what? Faithfulness. Okay, let's continue reading the Bible. The third reason why he did not trying to spend the money or trying to invest. He said, his master replied, you know how the master described him? You wicked and lazy servant. Now, when I read the Bible, I don't understand. I mean, I can understand why the master called him lazy. He is lazy. He's not doing anything. But why wicked? Why wicked? Did he commit any crime? No. Did he steal the money? No. He gives the money back to the master, 100%. I mean, to a certain extent, he's quite loyal. He's quite faithful. Why he call him wicked? Now, I don't know what you do. I don't know whether you're a boss or anything. But think about it. If you hire a worker, and the worker is always on time, never come late, and never leave early, and never complain during the work hour, and never create any disturbance among the co-workers, is he a good staff? Is he a good staff? No? So if he's late every time, he's a good staff? Yeah? Exactly. I didn't say whether how he do things. I did not talk about his productivity. Yes, he come in on time, start sitting on the desk, by the desk, and then start Googling, surfing, rechecking, and whatever. And until 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, then he leave. Yes, he's always on time. Yes, he did not do anything wrong. But is he wicked? Yes, of course it's wicked, because I pay you money and then you sit there doing nothing. Of course you're wicked. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about you. What time is your service? 9:30. How many of you are here before 9:30? Good. You come in on time. And then you don't leave early, I hope. And then you are not complaining. At least I didn't hear it. You didn't create any disturbance. You know, you didn't say yell and no David and the sign. No. Then what are you? What are you? You said it yourself. I didn't say it. See, what happened is, yes, we come here on time. We do everything what a Christian's supposed to do. We sing, we sit there, listen to the sermon and everything. But what have we done for the Lord? This is what the problem is. This is called a comfort song. I believe, I don't minister in one church. I have been a pastor in the church before, but right now I am I work in an organization and travel to different churches. I think the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges in the churches in North America is not heresy, it's not immorality, but maybe the biggest problem, biggest challenge, comfort zone. We are so settled down here. Think about it. What kind of challenge you have as a Christian? Maybe next week or this week, the AC is down. This will be a disaster for your church. Think, honestly, right? If the AC is down, oh my goodness, why happened? Oh, this is the biggest suffering in my life. See, we are being so comfort. Yes, we are not doing anything wrong, but what have we done for the Lord? And we are so get used to our own territory, become a comfort zone. And the Lord said, no, you're wicked and lazy. Although you didn't do anything wrong, but have you done anything for the Lord? Step out. I always think that it will be very beneficial if you go out, step out of your comfort zone. Maybe spend a week or two in those mission field. You know, there are some mission fields, they don't require a lot of biblical training. You just go there and care for the people over there. Go to downtown, go to those urban ministries. Go to somewhere that you feel a little uncomfort. You step out of your comfort zone, take some challenge. This is how we grow. If you always sit there, we can sit there for 10 years, 20 years, our Christian life will be exactly the same or deteriorating. At close, I want to share with you, the bottom, the bitterness versus forgiveness. Which one do you choose? Self-pity versus faithfulness. Which one do you choose? Comfort zone versus stepping out. Which one do you choose? Now, I told you, we have a great ministry here in Los Angeles. Everybody say, wow, you guys are doing such a wonderful job. You know, and every month there's a whole stack of Chinese newspaper. It's from us. We publish it. Every month we publish 45,000 newspapers around Southern California and Arizona and Nevada area. People say, whoa, you guys are doing such a wonderful job. But then we starting to get into our comfort zone. Then God give us a challenge. What challenge? God give us a land, a piece of property. Actually, the Chinese government give us a piece of property in China, Xianyang, right next to Xi'an. Xi'an, like terracotta soldier thing. Yeah. We have an opportunity to open a children's home. It belongs to us. The principal is from Canada. It's a Chinese-American from Chinese Christian from Canada, and the vice principal is from Taiwan. It's our budget, our account, and everything. Then the top part is the diagram, and the lower is the real building. That is a challenge for us because where the money comes from? Where the manpower come from? We are so many ministry already. Why do we have to step out and do something else? But once we start stepping out, we see the wonderful work of God. See, where the children come from? The children actually, the government provides us the nameless. Then we will go to their homes. Actually, a lot of time they are in rural area, in mountain area. We have to go to their home and do home visitation. We decide whether we take him or not. And then I run into this young kid. He's 8 years old. His name is Luo Zhan. When I talk to him, I feel so moved because I become an orphan when I was 8 years old and he was 8 years old. But then his situation is different from me. Actually, his mom is still alive, but how come he'll come to our orphanage? Well, because his dad has some psychiatric problem. But then in rural area, you spend money, you get a wife. And the wife gives birth to Luo Zhan, and then the wife just ran away. Then Luo Zhan staying with the father, with the grandparents. And then it's okay, I mean, things are being under control. But then a few years ago, the Luo Zhan's father become very serious. He started fighting, beating up everybody. So the grandfather tried to stop the father, and two get into a fight. And then the grandfather accidentally killed the father. And then the grandfather had to put to jail for 5 years. And then I look at this Luo Zhan, he don't know how to laugh. He don't know how to smile. Not that he don't want to smile, but he don't know how to smile. I mean, think about it. Your mom ran away, leaving you behind, and then your dad was killed by your own grandfather. I mean, such a crazy world. There are some other students, this is the photo I got a few months later. In the open ceremony, I go to him. He looked totally different. He know how to smile. You know, kids, they're very simple. What is inside of them, they will show it. So our job is not just to feed them and house them, but to love them with the love of God. We cannot share with them the gospel openly because of the China policy, but then we can live out the gospel. We can live out the love of God. I just say it's interesting. When I was young, I beat up the kids, and then when I grow older, I start working in an orphanage. But this is how God works. You know, next. This is the song we write for them. This is how the construction site. We write a song for them.
就这样的离开，现在无法明白，熟悉的声音怎么能替代？人们再不回来，只能独自缅怀，快乐的痕迹还在不在？以前。
我在这里，我还在那里，你和你的同伴，众人要不舍，爱让你回家，因为有爱，因为有爱，寂寞不再。
This is the first meal. We
are so excited to see all those kids dressed up nicely and everyone with a little smile. This is how she's like right now. Before and after. Liu Boheng. They are brother and sister, Ma Xiong, Ma Xiu. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have this morning, that we can read the Bible, and also do we learn to be a faithful servant. Maybe in the past we are so hold on to our bitterness, hold on to our self-pity, and then we think we are not better than others. And we pray, well, maybe we just so comfort with our comfort zone. We pray that we can step out, we can step up, we can be a loyal servant of you.